Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Shemesh Baptist Temple. Let's all stand as we start with the word of prayer. Dearly Father, I just thank you for this day, Lord. Just thank you for each one that's out tonight, Lord. Pray just be with the service and my honor and glorify you. Be with this time as we give these prayer requests, Lord. I just pray that you look after us. Be with the ones that are not here tonight, Lord. I just pray that you look after them. You know the reasons. And again, just be with the service and my honor and glorify you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all take your hymnals and turn them to hymn 189. 189. Never will cease to love you.
Child of God, be with
be seated.
When there's just one of you, let alone both of you, that's a blessing. Thank you, ladies. Appreciate that very much. And still ask that you'd remember to pray for the Benson Chin family. We had that service today and went well. And so if you would continue to pray for God's grace on them as, you know, they start that adjustment time. And then thank you for the prayers yesterday as I did my aunt's funeral. And it was actually cooler yesterday, I think, outside about the same time frame. But I don't know if it was, I don't know. It's just a little cooler and it was good to be with family. And you know, I think sometimes family's the hardest to preach to. But God gave real liberty yesterday, and so thank you for your prayers for that. Well, we're in Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. We're making our way through, and God's been very good to us. Of course, in no way has this been in depth, but hopefully it's sparked some interest in you that maybe you want to do a little more studying or, you know, read the book a couple more times to get a greater grasp of it. And we're going to begin tonight by reading the first three verses there in Isaiah chapter 60. And if you can, why don't you stand with me and I'll read and you can follow along. Begin in verse number 1 of Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lord, we love you tonight, and thank you for our time together. And Lord, it's our prayer and our desire that we might meet with you. I pray, dear God, you'd give wisdom and freedom to proclaim your word. Lord, that you would be honored and glorified through it. We thank you for the book of Isaiah. And here in chapter 60 and 61, 62, we realize there's a lot to be gleaned. And I pray tonight that you would allow us through the work of the Holy Spirit to grasp and to be able to carry away some key thoughts to help us in our walk with you. We thank you for being with us today and being with the Chin and Benson family as they laid Brother Chin to rest. Lord, we pray that you'd grace would be real to them over the upcoming days as they deal with his absence and be with Miss Ellie. And Lord, just draw close to you, and I pray that you might be honored and glorified through this, and that he would continue to live on through his good testimony and his witness, and Lord, might even others be saved as a result of those things. Thank you for our time together tonight. We love you, and we ask these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated. And so last week we started, and we've been talking about Isaiah's prophecies, Zion's glory and restoration. And so we're talking about the fact last week that the majority of this has to deal with the fact that the millennium's coming, okay? The millennial reign of Christ, it's coming, and by this time, we're gone. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I love being at the gravesite, and I love sharing 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. I'm glad this is not my home. I'm glad I'm just passing through, and I'm glad that I'm going someplace better. What a blessing it is to know that we're saved. But this is going to be during that setup of the millennial reign and what's going to be going on there, just kind of a picture and insight into what's happening. We talked last week about the splendor of God's people, and we started off, our point A was facts concerning their city, and we dealt with Isaiah 60, 1 through 3, and chapter 61, 4 through 6, 4, verse 4 through chapter 62 and verse number 12. And so the first thing we talked about was that Jerusalem will illuminate the entire world. All nations will see its light. The Gentiles are going to be drawn to the nation of Israel. It's going to be drawn to Jerusalem. They're going to be drawn there because of the light, and the darkness of this world will be put away. The light of God will be evident there. And it's going to draw people. It's going to draw them. It's kind of like us as we live for the Lord. As we live for the Lord, we're living in spiritual darkness. And if we're allowing the power of God to live through us and live through our lives, this world's going to see the light. And I would hope and pray that every day we start our day saying, God, let your light shine through me. Let me make a difference. Let people see that there's something different in me than the darkness of this world in which I live. And so we talked about the nations will come to Jerusalem and bring its people's goods. And there in Isaiah 16, verse 6 says, multitude of camels will cover thee, and the dromedaries of Midian, and even they shall come from Sheba, shall come, and they shall bring gold and incense. They shall show forth the princes of the Lord. And remember, as we were talking about this portion of Scripture, we talked about once before there were sacrifices brought on behalf of Jesus when he was born. And we saw that there was gold and incense and myrrh. But here there's no mention of myrrh. There's the gold and incense, I believe that like frankincense. But the myrrh was for the burial of Christ. At this time, there's not going to be a burial. He's going to rule and reign for the rest of all eternity. Man, I'm so excited about that. And we talked about those important things. And then we left it where we are tonight, and we're going to pick up with this statement, and that is facts concerning their country. Facts concerning their country. And so if you would look at verse number 4 with me, facts concerning their country. Verse number 4 says, lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Slide on down to verse number 8 and 9. Who are those that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish, first to thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. And so we see some facts concerning the nation here. First of all, there's a promise to the nation of Israel. We talked about here in what we'll look at verse number 5 of chapter 62. So turn over to Isaiah 62 and verse number 5. There we read, for as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. And so there's going to be this rejoicing. God will rejoice over his people, over his chosen people, Israel. And there's going to be a lot of rejoicing there. And then they will regather from among all nations. Now, we've seen some of that over the years. We've seen Israel making a push, going back. But during this millennial reign, they're going to flood back to their nation. Look with me, if you would, to we're going to begin in Isaiah 60 and verses 8 and 9. It says, who are they that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me in the ships of Tarshish first to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. And then let's look on over to chapter 62 and verse number 10. And here we read, go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And so there's going to be this drawing back. The children of Israel are going to be drawn back to their land, to that God had promised them. Matter of fact, my wife and I were on our second time through the Bible, and we've been reading about the promises that are made to the children of Israel. They've gone in, they've conquered the land, and you know, God's promised that to be their land, and they're going to get it. And the millennial reign's going to see that it's going to happen, and they're going to come back. They're going to rebuild long destroyed cities. In chapter 61, and verse number 4, we read, "And they shall build the old waste, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and desolations of many generations." And so there's going to be a rebuilding. It's going to be exciting to witness, to see the nation of Israel, the fulfillment that God has promised them and given them. They're going back to the city to be able to serve their God. The Gentiles will serve Israel. Verse number 5 of chapter 61, it says, "And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of aliens shall be your plowmen and your wine dressers." Boy, it's going to be pretty exciting. The people of this world are going to wait on them. They're going to go back, and people are going to take care of their flocks. They're going to feed their flocks. They're going to plow their fields and tend their vineyards. They will be a priestly nation. Amen? And verse number 6 says, "But ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God, and ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves." And so they're going to be called the priest of the Lord. It's interesting that this time they come to worship God, and the world's going to come to watch and to be a part, and they're going to walk with them and follow them. And then all the reproach that has been placed upon Israel, and think about that through the years, amen? All the reproach that's been placed upon Israel is going to be replaced with great honor among the Gentile nations. Man, how long people have looked down on Israel, and how long people have longed to see them destroyed and done away with. But at this time, the millennial reign of Christ, they're going to pay them great honor. And verse number 7 of chapter 61 says, "For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them, for I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them." And so they're going to have this great honor brought upon them. The people will seek the Lord, and they'll realize that the Gentile nations will realize that God has blessed his people, and they're going to want to be a part of it. They're going to want to see it. And so they're going to turn to Israel, and they're going to acknowledge them and give them great honor. And then the Bible, and then the thought is that they will never suffer defeat again. The nation of Israel will never suffer defeat again. In chapter 62, verses 8 and 9, it says, "The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine for that which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall gather it and praise the Lord, and they have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness." And so they're never going to suffer defeat again. They'll be safe from their enemies forever. Well, that's going to be a precious promise to the nation of Israel. And the second thing we see here, we saw the promise of the nation of Israel. We're going to see the praise of the nation of Israel, the praise of the nation of Israel. And we go to Isaiah 61, verses 10 through 11. Isaiah 61, 10 through 11. "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath clothed me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations." And so in the future, Israel will testify throughout the earth concerning God's faithfulness. They will talk about the faithfulness of God. And, you know, I don't know if you've noticed this as you've read through your Bible, but so we started out reading Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. We get down around Deuteronomy, and it seems like there's a rehearsal. There's a reminder for the nation of Israel. And then you'll go along, you'll read several more books, and then there's a reminder. And you're kind of reminded back for the nation of Israel to be reminded. And the nation of Israel has sought to walk with God, and then they failed and walked away from God. And here they're going to come to God, and this time they're not going to walk away. This time they're going to stay close to Him. This time they're going to witness the faithfulness of God, and they're going to stay close to Him. And so then the third thing we see here is the prayers of the nation of Israel. The prayers. And that's in Isaiah 62. We're going to read verses 6 and 7. It says, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Yet that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. You know, it seems like through a lot of the time that I've lived here upon this earth, the nation of Israel has been kind of a byword. It's not been popular. Matter of fact, over there, the Arabs would just soon make an oil slick out of the Jewish nation. They want Hezbollah to move in there. And before that, it was Yasser Arafat. They wanted him to move in. They wanted Israel to give up what little bit they had. Move out of the way. You know, you need to share this. This isn't just yours. But listen, they're holding on to a promise that God gave them. And they're holding on to something that God has given them. And here in the millennial reign, the world's going to realize, where would we be without Israel? What, there would be no hope in the world if Israel wasn't there, because they're God's people and God's being lifted up and glorified, and there's going to be many that are going to be drawn to Him as a result of that tiny nation. And so the people are to give themselves no rest until Jerusalem is established. And in Isaiah 62 and verse number 6, we read, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night, yet that make mention of the Lord keep not silent. It's kind of good for us even as we think about our own personal life. We really ought to give testimony of the Lord everywhere we go. Amen? I mean, He's done so much for me. God's done so much for me. He's given me so much. He's blessed me in so many amazing ways. And I shouldn't keep silent about that. I ought to be sharing that. Well, it's going to happen here as this millennial reign's going on. The people of the Lord are not going to be quiet about it. And they're going to talk about it. They're going to share the goodness of God and His promises and the fulfillment of those promises. It's going to be seen around the world. People are going to understand this is the true God. The people are to give God no rest until Jerusalem is established, and Jerusalem will be the object of praise throughout the earth. People are going to be like, hey, have you been to Jerusalem? Man, we had a great time over in Jerusalem. You need to go to Jerusalem. That's where God is. That's where the light is. These are wonderful people, and it's great to see how they live for God and serve the Lord. It's going to be a great place to go. People are going to seek to go and to be there. They're going to praise the fact that Jerusalem even exists in the world in which they live. The second thing, our second point, is the Savior of God's people. The Savior of God's people. We're going to look at the first three verses of chapter 61. There we read, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath appointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to point unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now, I would preach this anywhere I walk, Brother Wood. I'd take this anywhere and preach it, because I think it applies to us well today. Amen. But we realize that here in this millennial reign, it's really going to be magnified. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, and men and women will go and testify of God and his greatness and his goodness. Listen, but we don't have to wait for that. We're not going to be there in the millennial reign. We need to do that today. Man, God's done so much for us. He's delivered us from our past. He's given us a bright future. He's given us something to look forward to. So I was there today at the gravesite. And it's kind of weird, I guess. I like going to Leavenworth National Cemetery. It's beautiful. We have a beautiful national cemetery. Those rows of white markers representing men and women who defended our country. I mean, freedom isn't free. It's because there was people who were willing to go. And they didn't all come back dead. They came back and they lived their lives. They raised families. They carried the pressure. We talk about the post-traumatic disorders that soldiers now are experiencing. They experienced it then too. The only way I think you can ever cope with any of that stuff is by the grace of God, having God in your heart. I stood there and many times have looked out over those rolling hills and those white markers and thought to myself, man, it's a great thing to be an American. It's a great thing to know that these served our country. But it just kind of hit me a little different today. I was thinking about what it's going to be like when the rapture happens. And so the guy who's the director, he's standing over here all stiff, and we've done I don't know how many funerals together, and you just stand over there all stiff, hoping that this will hurry up and get over with. And I said, you know, one day, trumpet's going to sound, and there's going to be a bunch of holes all over the hillsides out here. Because men like Brother Ken, going to be gone. I don't know how many of our church members I've buried out there, but we almost always stop and see Miss Joyce Lyons, her marker's right there real close, and it's in the curve, and so we always stop and walk over and see her, and I know she's not there, but she's awful precious to us. I couldn't help but think about that morning, that time that the rapture takes place. There's going to be all these holes, and I said, kind of thinking of the guy over there, I said, and someone's going to be in a lot of trouble because there's a bunch of holes out here in this cemetery. They're going to have to be filled in, right? So, you know, I'm glad I have that hope. I'm glad I have that hope. Now, I think that we could take a survey right now. I could sell tickets to go in the rapture. That all of us, how many of you would like to go in the rapture? How many of you want to die to go to heaven? I don't want to die to go to heaven. I want to go in the rapture. I mean, that'd be awesome. Flying through the air, whoop. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be wonderful. If you're not signed up, you need to get signed up. You need to be ready to go. It's going to be a wonderful thing. I'm glad that we have the opportunity, though, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He's coming. He's coming soon. And we need to be ready to go. We need to be ready to meet with him. Don't put it off any longer. We need to be ready to go to be with him. So we see under the Savior of God's people, his anointing. Verse number one, the first part, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Messiah is appointed by the Father and anointed by the Spirit. He's come. He's alive. He's real. The next part of that verse says, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. The world needs to hear. They need to know. The Messiah is appointed by the Father and anointed by the Spirit. And he has a job. He has his anointing, his assignments here in chapter 61. In verse number 1 there, it says, to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Isn't it good to know that sin cannot hold you any longer? You don't have to be bound by sin, that God has paid the price. You don't have to be bound there any longer. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Is he glorified in your life tonight? Is he glorified in the way you live? Here we see the preacher preaches good news to the poor. Preaches good news to the poor. I don't think we really understand what poor is nowadays. We think we're poor. You know, we pay a lot of taxes and all those things. But we don't have too hard a time coming up with food to eat. Probably most of us, gardening might be a convenience. It's not a have-to thing. God's been awful good to us. We're to preach good news to the poor spiritually. They need the good news of Jesus Christ. They need the hope. The drunkard needs the hope. The homeless needs the hope. We need to share with them the good news of Jesus. He is the hope for this world. He comforts the brokenhearted. Man, there's nothing like the comfort of the Lord when your heart is broken. He is the one that comes alongside and help to mold the life and to put the life back together, to give reason to carry on. He releases captives and he frees the prisoners. I don't know how many times I've seen someone addicted to drugs, alcohol. They come to the Lord and they're set free from those captivities. And God is the one that frees the prisoners. It's not the Dr. Phil's of this world. It's the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He transforms the ashes in the beauty, sorrow in the joy, and despair in the praise. Have you ever seen him take something broken and make it beautiful? Man, what a precious thing. Some of you were broken, and he took you, and he loved you. And he's made something beautiful of your life. The devil hoped to destroy you. The devil hoped to get you so depressed and discouraged about the life that you lived. Maybe someone abused you as a child. He wanted to destroy you at that point, but God has been faithful to you. He's transformed you. You're beautiful through the ashes, the suffering, the sorrow. And now there's joy, and he's worthy to be praised. And the Lord is with them for his glory. The Lord is to be glorified. You know, we've been, since the COVID thing hit, we've been doing on Fridays, Thankful Friday. We did start out by having a daily devotional. And then as we got un-COVID, there was a lot more to be done in the office. And so we decided we would do Thankful Fridays. I like the ring of that. Someone said, why don't you make it Thankful Thursdays? Why don't you make it Thankful Thursdays? Because I never really was thankful for Thursday. I was always thankful for Friday. That was payday. I loved Fridays. I wished every day was Friday. Give me my paycheck. Hallelujah. I get the weekend off. It's a Thankful Friday. And we've been for months now. Thankful Friday, every Friday, looking at the goodness of God. He is worthy to be glorified. Now, I will say this, Thankful Fridays are coming to an end. We have two more. There'll be one this Friday, and there'll be one next Friday. The listening that we can track just doesn't seem like there's interest, and so it's kind of like we're spinning wheels, and there's no need to waste time. There's a lot of things that can be done for the Lord. But I would hope that you would still make Friday a thankful time, you know? Maybe you do get a paycheck on Friday. Well, you can thank the Lord you have a job. Thank the Lord he kept you well enough to go to it. Thank the Lord that, you know, you got something there, and thank the Lord for his many blessings. When you get up in the morning, well, to thank the Lord. Lord, thank you for a good night's rest. Thank you that the house didn't burn down. Thank you we have our health. How tragic. I had a preacher friend die today, battling COVID for the last couple of days, and now he's in heaven. You don't know what a day holds. It could be some bozo out there and his car. We were going to the, you know, I find one of the scariest times is when I head to the cemetery. So we're headed out this morning. We get over here on K7, and there's right up there by 47th Street, they start that blend, you know, to move people in. And so I'm following a big dump truck. I'm right here. This car's coming in to merge, and this bozo comes zinging down there. He's probably doing 80 miles an hour because he wants to get in front of everybody. So important. He almost hit the truck. He almost hit the car. Crazy. So you say, thank you, Lord. Amen. You protected me. Amen. Nothing I did. God did it. But so much to be thankful for. So much to praise him for. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight. We thank you for your goodness and your love to us. I pray to God as we think about Isaiah here, that we might take a little extra time. Just dig through our notes. Maybe reread the portions of Scripture to be mindful of your great love for us. And Lord, as we think about the great love that you have for us and how we ought to glorify you, I think, Lord, it's so important that we would seek to tell others about Jesus. The greatest thing that's ever happened in my life was the fact that I got saved. Lord, I want others to know. I don't want people to die and to go to a Christless eternity. I want to share with them the good news of Jesus. God, give me that boldness. Give me that zeal and that desire to make sure every day and in all the opportunities I have to share the goodness of God. Take this invitation, use it for your glory. We love you and we ask these things in your name. Amen. Let's all stand. Have a moment of invitation. Only trust him. God spoke to your heart tonight. Encourage you to come. We'll just have a couple of verses. Encourage you to come tonight. Yeah.